Hey, I'm Robbie Kramer. You're listening to the Leverage Podcast, where we discuss using your social skills to hack dating, travel, finding your dream job, and becoming a complete man. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Robbie Kramer, and I'm with Josh Hudson. Josh is a licensed marriage and family therapist, and he's in San Diego, a place where I used to live, so it's good to be talking to someone back from home over here in Ukraine. And he teaches guys how to, you know, live an awesome lifestyle and how to find and keep their perfect 10. He's got a really cool YouTube channel, some really awesome content on there, and I'm looking forward to having you on the show. Thanks for being here, Josh.
Of course, thanks for having me, man. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, so tell us your story. You know, how'd you get into this stuff? It's cool that you have your background in therapy, because there's so many guys that are teaching dating stuff that, you know, I guess like me, who don't have a background in that. Maybe, you know, I kind of learned stuff along the way, but it's cool to have, you know, that actual education. So, yeah, tell us your story and how you got into this stuff.
Yeah, man. I think actually, you know, it's a pretty common story. I haven't talked to many men across in the dating world. First relationship with a girl in high school, you know, lost my virginity senior year with her, and she cheated on me. And so that kind of like shocked my world. I was like, holy crap, like what? I thought only old married couples get cheated on, right? yeah, dude. And so that kind of like rocked me, and then I you know, I was like, oh, I'll give her a second chance. And so, you know, I didn't really realize there was like self-esteem issues going on, and so she cheated on me again, and that just kind of like destroyed my ego, right? Like,
right,
what am I worth, right? It touched that wound that was already there that I didn't realize from like childhood about like not being enough, all this stuff. And the same self-fulfilling prophecy kind of was created where my next relationship I was cheated on, and then the third one as well. And I was like, okay, so I can take two stances here. I could say, you know, all women are cheaters and they're awful, which unfortunately there's some groups of men that you maybe have heard of that kind of take that stance, that yep. Women are just, yeah.
Red pill, maybe?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Yeah. Well, not just red pill, because some red pill are cool, but like yeah. Specific, like deep end, yeah. Or I could be like, look, what is it that I'm doing that's causing this? Like, if I take responsibility, right? That's
sure.
My number one thing I like talking about in Pinnacle Man is like men that take responsibility and ownership of their life. And so that's what kind of brought me to psychology. I got, you know, into grad school for my master's. Kind of, it was to study what was going on with my life, you know. And because what I recognized what happened is I got with this girl in college, and she was like everything I ever wanted. Like, if you spoke to my like 17-year-old self, this is the girl I would marry. And when I got with her, I wanted to marry her.
Uh-huh.
But I had so much, you know, stuff going on from all those past wounds that I ended up, you know, being the one that cheated on her. And I caused her the same pain that basically the other girls caused me. And I was like, and I saw it happen. And she said the same exact words I said, like, why am I not enough for him? And I was like, oh crap. Like, I'm never doing this again. I'm figuring out, like, I'm going to get with a girl that I know that I deserve to be with. And I'm going to like deal with my stuff, so like, I don't continue this cycle of pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see a lot of guys myself that, you know, when they don't have the skills to really attract a girl that they feel like they deserve to be with, they get in relationships they don't want to be in. Sure. And it leads to a lot of suffering and pain. And so that's ultimately where I come from and why I want to help men.
Well, I've certainly been there. I've had my fair share of cheating and being cheated on. So I can totally relate to the story. It's also very cool that you were able to, you know, have that life experience and then let that kind of guide you into a career that you're really passionate about. Because when I started with personal growth and development, I was already graduated from college and, you know, out in the working world doing shit I didn't like to do. I wish I would have studied psychology back in school. And, you know, sometimes I tell myself, hey, go back and get your master's and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, just hasn't been a priority. So before that, did you have any idea what you wanted to do, or it was literally just because of these life experiences that you're like, fuck, I want to go into psychology?
I was always introverted growing up, uh-huh. You know, and so I was always study people. I love people watching, right? And so psychology was just kind of a natural fit, you know, studying people and behavior. So I think honestly, my initial, if I was to ask my younger self, like my initial desire to go into it was because, like, big fan of Pokemon. I think I like the psychic type the best. So I thought that was cool, maybe. So I was like, oh, psychology, psychic, you know? I don't know. But yeah, it all worked out, you know what I mean? Just kind of fell into it.
So I guess let's talk about cheating, because I mean that's
Yes, let's do it.
I'm curious to get your take on it, because I've been, I guess I was lucky in the sense that I, well, maybe not lucky. I don't think it really matters what order it happened in, but I was always the cheater in the beginning.
Sure.
And I cheated on basically every girlfriend I ever had, and I eventually came to this belief that, like, okay, I'm either in a relationship and bored of the girl after a while, after that new relationship energy wears off and the sex becomes kind of routine, or I'm, and so the grass is always greener if I wish I was single and out there and doing my thing. Or if I was single, I'd always miss the companionship and that, all those things that come with a relationship. And I spent many years, like, I feel like I'm kind of just coming out of that. I'm 36, almost 37, but I spent between 18 and like 35 in that headspace. And I'm just curious, what are your thoughts on that? Like, have you ever dealt with that? And what do you tell guys when they're kind of going through that sort of
Well,
mental
I think
process?
the answer to that question, I'm kind of curious, like, what happened with you this past year or two that really changed it for you?
Well, what happened with me was I spent all of 2018 basically being the man whore that I always wanted to be. And it took me until like the age of 36 to be in a place both with my, I don't know, game, so to speak, and from a financial standpoint, where I finally started dating the women that I thought were my versions of tens. And I was, basically a total scumbag, but an honest scumbag. And I had seven back to back, like, I don't know, girlfriend experiences with my version of a perfect 10 in 2018. And it was basically the realization after that. It's like, okay, wait, all of these girls in my mind were tens to me, and yet none of these relationships worked. And there was all sorts of crazy stuff going on, all sorts of personality disorder stuff I could talk about and so on and so forth. But, most of my criteria were very surface level based on looks only. And that's what I kind of realized, like, okay, a perfect relationship isn't finding your 10 and locking her down. Perfect relationship, in my opinion, is finding someone who you can communicate with and realize that things are always going to change in your life. It's never going to be perfect, but if you can find someone you communicate with and you can grow and you can understand each other better day by day and always have that open dialogue, and whether you want to be monogamous or you want to be some sort of open, you can decide on that too. And my kind of theory on it now is, well, it's only cheating if it's something that was a broken agreement. And it's strange because I come from a family of no divorces ever. My parents have been together for almost 40 years. Their brothers and sisters, all my aunts and uncles have been together forever. I've got cousins. And so, like, this perfect Leave It to Beaver family. And yet everyone, all the kids, like, no, none of us have been married, none of us have kids, and I'm 36, the oldest of like 10 grandkids on in the family. So, there's it's just kind of weird to me that even though I come from this, we all come from this very traditional family, everyone is still out there just being single and not, not kind of following in our parents' footsteps just yet. So that's been, that's been my experience anyways.
That's very interesting. It's funny because it's like you want to sell people what they want and give them what they need, right?
Sure.
And so, I mean, talking to your audience right now, like, obviously a lot of the content and what I market toward is like, hey, you're gonna get laid, signs of girls DTF, all this good stuff.
Right.
But like, deep down, what I'm teaching the guy behind closed doors is like, look, it's not what you do, it's not what you say, it's who you become that attracts the woman, right? And working on that, and working on the internal stuff and being self-accepting and when you're in an interaction with a girl and you're fully self-accepting of who you are, that's what's attractive.
Right.
You know what I mean? But like, if I were to sell that to guys, like, then I wouldn't honestly, as you know, get as much.
You wouldn't get any clients.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. like, hey man, like, look, you just gotta have some self-love, bro. That's right. All it is. He's like, okay, yeah. How do I get laid, dude? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? So yeah, like, when you say good communication, like, yeah, of course, it's 100%. I mean, I'm a marriage therapist. Like, I work with married couples. I work with couples. Like, that's, you know, 99% of the couples sit down with me when they come in. They identify their problem as, we have communication issues. Hmm. Now, there's deeper ways to kind of like look at that. But, you know, they kind of identify as like, yeah, we just can't talk. We don't know how to communicate. Because that's where it breaks down on the surface level, is the communication, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So how are you able to kind of resolve your own kind of dealing with cheating, and where are you at now in terms of, you know, your relationships?
Like the pain that came from it?
Yeah, and then...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. A lot. Well, I did some therapy, which helped, but, mm-hmm. you know, it was a lot of years, honestly, of self-work. And, you know, I think, you know, for guys listening, some guys listening out there and he's been cheated on, it's like recognizing that it wasn't about you. Mm-hmm. As much as you want to take it personally, like thinking that, oh, they cheated on me because the other person had something better that I didn't have, or I wasn't good enough in this area. Like, no, it's never about you. It's always about the other person. Like, you know, you've cheated, right? You could probably say that, like, it's not about the other person not being enough. It's like, you have to deal with your own insecurities. It's like, you were too selfish, right? Because that's where it comes from. Like, you were too selfish and you wanted too much.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So interesting thing that happens with me, I'm curious if this happens with you, but when you cheated, did you desire your girlfriend more after that?
That's a great question, man. I have to put myself back in that space. You know, I think I desired her more sexually because I thought she was cheating on me too. Uh-huh. And from evolutionary standpoint, if you ever read Sex of Dawn or Sperm Wars,
yeah.
like that sperm competition, like whenever you think your girlfriend's cheating on you, emotionally you feel more distant. But mm-hmm. like sexually, you tend to be more like competitive,
right?
So and that makes you desire her more. So yeah, I think I did, but it was coming from a place of not like giving. It was like coming from a place of like taking. If that makes sense.
Totally. Yeah, I read both of those books not too long ago. And I remember that part from Sex at Dawn, and it was crazy. The first time I had a girl cheat on me like in a brutal way, I think it was like 23 or 24, and. I had cheated on her, and she had found out, but it was kind of like, oh, it wasn't really cheating because we weren't really a couple yet, right? That was my little out, but she still felt it. And then I went up to San Francisco for the weekend, and then she called me like as I was boarding the flight back home. She said, hey, I just have to let you know I fucked this guy at your buddy's house where we met. I'm like, okay. And she's like, yeah, and I didn't use a condom, and like it was just like the most like brutal, and I got a migraine headache for the first time in my life.
Wow.
On the Jesus. Plane flight home. Like I'd never experienced it and still never had one since. But wow. Like the most painful headache. I felt like someone was taking a nail and hammer to my forehead. Luckily the flight was only an hour, and then I immediately like drove to her house. And, you know, we had, like, the best sex ever. But it was still fucking shitty because of the, you know, all the emotional, you know, trauma or whatever.
Yeah, man.
So
that's like the red pill stuff, you know, like that's actually true with evolutionary psychology. Like, it's crazy. Like, if you're a single guy, for example, dating multiple women, it's like – so many men fear like, oh, I don't want to tell her I'm sleeping with other girls. And it's like, I promote honesty. It's like, if you're honest with a girl, like I was hooking up with this one girl and then I was like, you know what? We'll tell each other if we hook up with someone else. And we see each other maybe once a week. And I ended up hooking up with another girl. I was like, all right, I got to tell her. Like, it sucks, but I got to tell her. I told her. And after I told her, she got like sad and upset, but then she slept with me like immediately after. And it was just like, what the hell? Like, if I didn't know about any of that stuff, like red pill and everything and evolutionary psychology, I'm like, why the hell did she want to sleep with me after I, yeah, but like, it's like the whole, it's like competition, you know, it's, mm-hmm. it's, yeah.
Yes.
Crazy.
So what do you think about that? Like, is it, well, where are you at? Are you single? Do you have a girlfriend or?
I'm dating.
Okay. So
Yeah.
you're like me, I guess you could say. So,
Yeah, I mean, like, I think when I'm like turn your age, I think I want to settle down more, like when I get 35, 36. Yeah. So I think, I'll give myself a couple more years, focus on business and have fun.
How old are you?
I'm 30.
You're 30. Okay. Yeah, recently I've been kind of feeling like a girl whose biological clock is kind of ticking, at 36, right?
Yeah,
And
some of my clients that are 36, 37 are that's the age they kind of want to start settling down, yeah.
but it's strange because I've been such a fuck boy for so long that, there's this whole I don't want to lose my freedom sort of thing. But at the same time, it's getting kind of boring.
Yeah, mundane, yeah.
Yeah,
And
but
almost empty, right? Like it's meaningless when it's a
totally.
short.
Yeah, totally. So, and the but I'm surrounded by a lot of other people, especially here in Ukraine. This is kind of like a magnet for older guys who want to get younger women, but it's usually much older guys. It's usually guys in their like 40s, 50s, 60s who are kind of coming here as expats, and it's totally, I wouldn't say no normal, but it's not looked upon kind of negatively for like a guy in his 50s to be, out with a girl in her 20s here.
Oh, really?
Yes, where in somewhere like San Diego, like girls think I'm like super young here. They're like, oh, you're only 36? I'm like, in the US, they'd be like, oh, you're old. But, it's just that difference in culture here, I guess. So when you're working with clients and stuff, where do you go these days? Are you doing more stuff during the day?
When
Do
I
you do
go
any
out,
like
yeah.
approaching with them?
All my like dating clients are around the world via Skype, from YouTube. I don't have any dating clients in San Diego. I have all their private therapy, the private practice clients in San Diego. So I haven't gone out with clients personally. I have when I do meet someone here and they want to kind of like go out and stuff and they want coaching. It's like I'd rather just kind of go out with them and have fun, not like really turn into a coaching client and just like kind of teach them as I'm going out with them, because I kind of just want to go out myself, to be honest.
I don't blame you.
But yeah, but like as far as like going out, like I don't do as much night game as I used to. Like if I go to like a festival or an event or a concert, like yeah, that kind of counts, but I don't just go out to just go out anymore. Like I'll do a lot of day game, right? So like, and this is the kind of lifestyle I think it's like way more effective when you make it part of your lifestyle. Like so the other day, for example, I went to the beach and I did the recording. I went out to the beach. I was like, I'm gonna approach at least two girls before I go home on the beach. Right, or if I go to Trader Joe's to the grocery store, it's like I'm gonna approach one girl in the grocery store, right? Because I think honestly, or in the gym, if I see a girl that's attractive, like gym used to be a big no-no, right? Don't approach girls in the gym. But like honestly, if she's doing abs and stretching at the end, and I'm kind of next to her, like I'll strike up a conversation with her, and I find day game to be much more easy in kind of converting girls to dating.
It's the best. Day game's the best.
It really is.
I was listening to one of your YouTube videos where you're talking about those two girls that call "Who's Your Daddy?" or "Call Me
Yeah, call
Daddy."
her daddy
Call
girls.
her
Oh my
daddy.
God, dude. Oh my God, dude. Don't even get me started on
That's
that.
entertaining. And I like what you said. They had really good sex advice,
They do,
but
yeah.
bad dating advice. And I think you mentioned hitting on girls in the gym. And I think that's like, I swear that's probably the question I get asked the most by guys. Can I hit on girls in the gym? And I always say, yeah, why not? I mean, you can hit on a girl really anywhere, but there
Right.
is that stigma. So, especially in San Diego, there's so many such a gym culture. Fuck, why not, right?
Dude, I know, man. And the hottest girls, like they have such the resting bitch face on because they know that they don't want to get approached, right? So it's like they're making sure they're extra, like, don't talk to me face going on. But it's like at the end of the day, if that girl is like your 10, like is like a gorgeous girl, you see yourself wanting to go up to her, like. Here's the thing, man. Like, here's what I tell girls. Here's my line when I tell girls, and I say line with quotations because it's like true. And the biggest thing that I recognize over time is when I see a beautiful girl, Robbie, and I see her and I'm like, okay, I really want to approach this girl, and then I don't, I beat myself up like for the next week, like how that conversation could have went. And I'm like, you know, sometimes I'll even go back to the same spot at the same time the next week to see if she's there. And of course, and I'll never see this girl again, right? And
yeah.
I can't remember every time I was rejected by a girl. I really can't, right? It's kind of like whatever. You get rejected all the time. But I can remember every time I regret not talking to a girl that I found very attractive. And so when I go up to these girls, that's what I say. I say, look, I found you. I thought you were super gorgeous. And, you know, I don't want to regret how this conversation could have went because it'll ruin my whole day. And you know, I had to introduce myself.
That's great.
And love it. It's great because it's authentic. It's real, right? It's not a lie. And for like some guys, like, well, should I use that? Like, coaching guys, I'm like, no, like use what's authentic to you. Like if you're nervous, say you're nervous.
Yeah.
If you don't do it that much, say, hey, I don't do this that much. You know, be honest. Like that's.
Man, the line that always worked the best for me, and it's not even a line, it's the same sort of thing. Is I'd walk up to girls and I'd say, hey, I had to risk embarrassing the hell out of myself to come over here and meet you, you know, because that's how I felt. I felt like I was taking a risk, and worst case scenarios, I was embarrassed, and that would almost always get a great reaction because it was authentic. And,
yeah, I did.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but have you ever experienced a line stop working for you?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, because it wasn't authentic, exactly.
I used to use this line that I got from my buddy. When I heard it, I was like, that's fucking great. And it's super simple. It's, hey, not to be that guy that, like, hits on you in the, you know, grocery store, but gotta be that guy. And and it was so fucking money for the first maybe year and a half.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the time, I was approaching tons of girls, you know, almost every day. And then it just stopped working, and I realized it just didn't feel authentic to me. It was no longer, I didn't feel like that guy. So that was the issue. Mm-hmm. So sounds like you've experienced that too, right? Or something along the lines of it. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's like we have this internal bullshit meter, right? All of us do. Like we can tell when someone's not just like with dating, but with women and stuff, but like just in general, when you're talking to someone, you can tell when someone's like hiding something or holding something back, not being real, lying. We just feel it, right? And so that's why like self-acceptance is so important, because if you can fully accept yourself for who you are as a person and then embrace that, and it comes out in the way you talk, the way you communicate in general with your body language and everything, and you own that, that's what's, you know, valuable. That's what's attractive.
Yeah.
Right.
So tell me more about some of the – I don't know if you could, but – some of the processes you help your clients go through to kind of bring up their crap or whatever and move through it, self-acceptance, self-love. Obviously, like, I'm guessing, because this is what I've seen with my clients, is that when they go out and approach and they take action, it naturally brings all this shit up, and then you can kind of deal with it, right? But,
yeah,
tell me about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you kind of answered it for me. Like, whenever I just start talking to them, it's you use my therapy training, it's like, you know how to like see the surface level of what they're talking about. So if a couple comes in to talk about communication problems, it's like, no, there's like a deep attachment issues and stuff. And so when someone says, for example, you know, I'm talking to this guy in DMs right now, the Instagram, he found my profile and I'm talking to him. He's like basically saying how, he's like been going out by himself lately, and some days he's on it, but other days he feels fearful and insecure. And it's like, oh, okay. So you kind of reflect that back. Like, oh, you feel insecure. What makes you feel insecure? And it's called like Socratic questioning from Socrates, like Greek philosophy. And you basically just like take a posture of curiosity is what it's kind of called in therapy, where you like just ask them questions and then, oh, okay, so there's that level. Okay, no, yeah, why do you feel insecure? Oh, I feel insecure because, you know, I'm not getting the results. Oh, why are the results important to you? Because it makes me feel, you know, when I get a girl, like I feel on top of the world. Okay, so why don't you feel on top of the world without the girl? You know, then you start getting to points where you're like, oh shit, like you get to these deep internal beliefs about the person's identity and what they value and who they are as a person. And from there, the beliefs about the self is like a story we're telling ourselves.
Yeah.
And we've been telling ourselves the same story for decades sometimes for some people, and they don't even recognize that they can change that story if they want to, right? That they can question these assumptions about themselves and about the world that they've never even got to because they never took the time to inquire about their own beliefs. So that's kind of the basic structure of how I kind of start with someone and working with them.
I like that. So you dive, you know, you basically get to the surface or through the surface level crap to, you know, by asking those Socratic questions, you called it?
Yeah, that's one process I use. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Okay. So how do you, when you're working with guys, you know, remotely or whatever, what are some ways, or what's your best way of getting them to go out and take action? Because that's always a struggle, you know, as a coach.
Yeah, you know, I'm reading this book now. Some people may have heard of it, Atomic Habits by James Clear.
Yeah, great book. I read it 6 or 7 months ago. And
yeah, it's amazing. So he has that study he talks about. You probably remember this, where when you verbally say it out loud at a time and a place, it makes you 3 times more likely to do that thing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a lot of taking action and changing who you are is about setting those systems in place. And he talks about different levels of accomplishing goals, the what, the system, and then who you are. And so by changing, like, who the person is and helping them recognize that, you know, they are an attractive person, right? And that there's been examples in their life where they actually have attracted women, and focusing on those exceptions and building that up as their new story, it's like everything else kind of falls into place, right? Because they see themselves as this accepting, attractive guy, and they have proof about it. And they go manufacture that proof over time. And so when, again, they, like, accomplish these goals and stuff, it's like a lot of accountability at first, right? A lot of hand-holding. My clients, I DM them. I'm like, hey, how did today go? Blah, blah, blah. But over time, I kind of fade that back, right, as time goes on. So,
have you ever tried using the negative associations?
No, let me hear about it. I'm always after more tools.
So this has actually been my most effective strategy, but I only need to use it on someone who's really, you know, kind of really scared to do it, or I've tried everything else. And basically I say, hey, what's an amount of money that will hurt, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, they're working with me, so I've got their credit card, and I said, all right, how many girls are you going to approach this week? Don't pick a number that's too much, you know, just give me something that feels doable. And I'll say, I don't know. 5. And I'll say, okay, and what's the amount of money you don't want to lose? They said $500. So approach 5 girls, send me the reports, or I'm charging your card. And believe it or not, sometimes, you know, I charge their card. usually it works. Almost always it works.
Wow.
And I've used that. I actually used that same method to lose about 60 pounds back in 2011, because I had tried everything to lose weight. And the only thing I hadn't tried, and I always knew it would work, because I'd watch actors and actresses kind of like, you know, totally, chisel themselves before a movie. You know, like Matt Damon, he's usually kind of fat when he's not in a role, and then you see him in a role and he's you know, in great shape. And yeah. I always thought to myself, if I had a good enough reason to lose the weight, and by good enough reason, I guess I really meant like a strong enough stick, I would do it. So I bet my friend, I said, I think I escrowed $5,000 with him. And I said, if I don't lose, if I'm not X pounds, 162 pounds, I think it was, by this date, keep the money.
Yeah. Wow.
And it was scariest thing I think I'd ever done, but I lost the weight and lost it well ahead of schedule too. Cause I was so worried about losing the money. Like, I couldn't afford to lose the money at the time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, dude. I'd be interested to see like the difference in studies between like people who prefer that model versus like reward, like, you know, punishment versus reward.
Yeah.
Because I think there's different personality types who would prefer, you know, either or to be more motivating. But yeah, that's a good study. I mean, that's a good approach.
I tried the reward thing a bunch. It didn't really work for me. I guess I'm, especially lazy, so I need the.
Or just masochistic or something.
Something, I don't know.
But
I always ask the people the question, like, so what is the one thing that you feel like is, you know, like the biggest thing in your way from getting what you want, whether that's with women or work or whatever, that's just like the hardest thing that you've had to overcome? For me, it was the weight, because I always had this story that, oh, I'll be able to get my perfect 10, or I'll be able to have the life I want if I lost the weight. And I struggled with that until I was, 7 years ago, but until the age of 29. And that was like literally the hardest thing I've ever had to do. And since then, nothing's felt nearly as hard. And I feel like I'm kind of, I don't have that nagging thing. But have you ever had anything like that? Or have you ever worked with clients who've had shit like that?
Oh, clients. Yeah, definitely. you name it, man. Like, I've had clients that are overweight that said they need to lose weight. I had clients that they need this much money. They need, you know, I had clients, they said that, you know, they need to get more muscle, whatever it is. Like, there's always a story of like why they're not good enough. I heard guys who said, like, you know, they're not tall enough, and so they'll never be able to like get a girl that they want. And I'm like, it's just, yeah.
And it's never the thing.
It's funny
either.
Because this is my next video actually that I'm making right now is like on like Do Looks Matter again. I'm doing another one, and I use like deep scientific approaches to look at this. We have something called a sociometer. It's basically our internal gauge of what we deserve in a woman, like number wise. A lot of studies, basically, they took one study where they had people assign numbers on their forehead in this classroom, and they didn't know their numbers, but you had to get the highest number in the classroom of someone else of the opposite sex. So guys were going up to like these number 10s, right? But the girls had to get the highest number 2, right? So like a lot of the girls would, you know, ignore the other guys, and like they took self-esteem measures before and after the study. And the people who had lower numbers had lower self-esteem because they were rejected more in the study, right?
Right.
And so what a lot of guys don't understand is like I know plenty of men out there that are short, overweight, you name it. Like on paper, they don't deserve an attractive girl, but they go for them all the time.
Yeah.
Right? Like super hot girl. And it's like, what's the difference? It's their self-esteem.
Totally.
It's how they view themselves, right? And so when I work with these guys and say they're not enough in any area, it's like, yeah, in the interaction, the girl will sense that you feel that you're not enough. You're too short, you're bald, you're fat, and that's what she's going to focus on because you focus on that, right?
It's amazing to me how unbelievable women are at mirrors or at being a mirror, dude. Right? Because it's
the feminine is like, yeah, flowing. And it's like, if you're a guy that just like knows what you want and is like, the masculine is like, take, right? I go, like, I'm this ship. You've heard of this metaphor. I'm this ship and I go where I want. And I, you know, if I get rejected from one port, boom, I just go off to the next one, right?
Yeah.
But woman is either the gatekeepers, right? So.
Yeah. It's I've heard the ship on the water metaphor basically the feminine is the ocean and the masculine is the ship. So if you know, the destination you're heading to is probably not going to be a straight line, and you kind of just have to go wherever Mother Nature kind of takes you and just do your best to stand course. But
so many guys want to avoid a rejection all the time, right? And it's just like, bro, like you're never gonna be succeed, like get a girl if you are afraid of rejection, like ever. So
yeah, they're just, I mean, it's crazy to me how intuitive the feminine can be, because it's like they'll just, at any time I've had periods of my life where there's something I'm insecure about or there's some nagging thing, it's like they just fucking know. Yeah, it's so crazy when and there's so many crazy reasons that guys have in their head for why they're insecure. Oh, they don't have enough money, or they don't have enough this or that. And the crazy thing is, it's true because that's what they're focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you feel like you don't have enough money to get your ideal girl, then you don't have enough money. because she's going to feel that you don't have enough money, and she's going to know. And at the same time, if you could change that belief in your head, if you can get rid of that story, it wouldn't be an issue, right?
Right. And, dude, so, like literally yesterday, I could give a perfect example of this, right? So I had one guy, for example. He was talking about how he's like, yeah, man, like girls don't like guys in grad school. Like I'm around all these undergrads all the time, and they like I'm just in grad school and they don't like, you know, because I'm like I'm older. I'm like, dude, what? Like – when I was in grad school, like I had more status because I was in grad school. Like I was, and it's like, or this other guy, like he's like, yeah, man, like I don't like San Diego girls. Like he's gonna be my video, and he's like, I don't like San Diego girls because they don't like country boys. I'm like, are you insane? Like girls love country boys. Like the accent, are you kidding me? That's, but like his belief was they don't like country boys. So when he would go up to these girls, I'm sure the way he presented himself was like being unlikable. Like, oh, they don't like me. Head down, lack of eye contact, not happy, not himself. And those are the perfect examples of guys like lacking the self-esteem and then finding a reason afterward to justify the lack of self-esteem.
Yeah, it's crazy how the brain works, right? So I'm curious, when you were studying psychology, how much of it, you know, going through your formal training, how much of it relates to the stuff you're doing now with men versus other stuff that you may have had to learn that wasn't really useful?
So if I were to take my approach and use it in a metaphor, like if my approach was like a house, the foundation and everything that holds it together, the pillars and everything, it is my psychological training. And the, you know, the kitchen, the appliances and the couches and everything inside is like the kind of dating stuff. Right. So like, it really is the foundation of my work. And a lot of like the basic fundamental processes is, you know, acceptance comes before change, or, understanding that people like you, for example, like our clients I work with, I can't solve the problem, only they can. And like, they're the experts of their life. Yeah. Taking that therapeutic stance is very important in working with clients. And so like, there's these basic tenets that I use that I learned from therapy. Not to say that you can't learn them, you know, outside of psychology, grad school or whatever it is. But that's where I learned it, so that's what I'm giving credit to. But yeah, so that's how I would kind of approach that in terms of it's my foundation of what I use. So it is pretty impactful with my approach with clients.
Gotcha. Yeah, I did a lot of sort of. You ever heard of Landmark Education? They're kind of like Tony Robbins.
Yeah. I went to UPW in LA actually a couple of months ago.
Oh, you did? My buddy was there too.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, how was it? I've never been to a Tony Robbins event, but he's amazing.
You know, I was one of the go. I think UPW is for someone who's like kind of new in the self development world. But like, if you've been in like self development for like 5, 6, 7 years, like a lot of stuff he brings up, you've already probably gone through. Yeah. So I went for networking more than anything, but it was cool. It was cool.
Did you see a lot of crossover between psychology and, you know, your studies versus the stuff that he talks about?
I saw some crossover in the, like, yeah, his approaches and like what he does with the audience and the exercises. Yeah. There's definitely crossover. Yeah.
Because I've done so much personal growth outside of a formal, you know, university setting. And I'm always curious, like, I wonder how much, you know, it kind of goes both ways. A lot of the stuff I've done has just been kind of like hokey pokey crap, like, NLP, tap. Well, NLP could be good, but like EFT, NLP's TFT. Good, yeah, NLP is great, but, like tapping on your face stuff. I don't know if you've seen that before.
EMDR, I think that is.
The way I heard it was EMT or EFT and TFT.
Okay.
Yeah, I used to know a guy. He was like coaching students, and the guy would be out and like, I have approach anxiety. He'd say, okay, don't move. And he would tap here and he'd tap here. How do you feel now? the same.
That's funny. Yeah. So like for Tony, it's like a lot of that state stuff. Like, right? That's why, like, you know, RSD, Tyler took that stuff from Tony Robbins, you know, like about getting into state. Right. It's like changing your state, like pumping up and down, or like doing jumping jacks, like moving around, like jumping, dancing, like changing your physiological state is, that helps a lot in changing your emotions, obviously. But, yeah, it's good stuff, man.
Yeah. It's, there's so many different interesting approaches with all this stuff. So a lot of my listeners are always interested in a business standpoint. I'm always, you know, interviewing guys who are building businesses, entrepreneurial. Did you ever, well, obviously when you got out of school, you knew you were kind of going this direction, right? But how long have you been, you know, an entrepreneur running your own business? Were you ever working for someone or doing the 9 to 5?
Yeah, man, no. It's actually funny you bring that up. So not too long ago, I was still working my part-time job at an addiction rehab facility. So I was like the in-house therapist at this addiction outpatient clinic. And it was only a couple months ago that I quit that. So I was doing part-time that YouTube in private practice. And I was like, you know what? By the time I'm 30, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. So like right around my 30th birthday, like I traveled to Japan to celebrate my 30th birthday. And I was there for like 10 days. And I came back and I quit my job right before I left. And so that was a couple months ago. And I've been doing that ever since. So just been doing coaching and YouTube and private practice. So
YouTube's fucking – it's awesome. And it's – for me, it's been like this thing that – I've been running this podcast for about 3 years now. And I really love the podcasting format. I don't know. I guess it's just a little bit more natural for me.
Sure.
But YouTube – is probably a better platform, but there's a lot more that goes into producing content for that.
Oh yeah.
So, and I don't think people realize like how much really goes into it. And you have,
dude, It's about on average, give or take, about every minute for like a 10, so like a 10-minute video is about 10 hours of start to finish. So 5-minute video is 5 hours. So yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot. How often are you posting videos? And what's your
I've
routine like to consistently do that?
yeah man I post videos twice a week, Wednesdays and Sundays. So I bumped up to twice a week ever since I went full-time entrepreneur. And I try to make one video less editing, just kind of free flowing. But I built that habit of editing videos and like adding like text and pictures because it makes it more engaging for the viewer. But yeah, so then like the process, I have a huge video list of videos, like of topics to do, so like, I'm never running out. So yeah, I'll just pull from the list and think like, what do I want to make? What's most relevant? I live with two other entrepreneurs and at this house, so I'm always shooting the shit with them, and they know game and stuff and pick up. So we're always talking, and like we just kind of like talk in the living room about some cool topic. I'm like, that's a good video topic. I'm gonna write that down. You know what I mean? So like, for example, honesty in game. Like, should you be 100% honest when you first approach a girl about everything? And so like, yeah, there's like topics like that we'll just come up with, and then I'll turn it to a video.
Well, that's cool that you kind of have like a little mini mastermind going at your house, because when you
Yeah,
surround
yeah.
yourself with other people that are doing what you're doing, that's huge. So,
Yeah, definitely.
your homies that you're, entrepreneurs, that's super important. And then the consistency that you mentioned, I think, is really important too. Just making sure to put it out every Wednesday and Sunday. Have you noticed pretty consistent growth, or have you noticed any changes in your following based on,
Not since I started posting twice a week, I haven't seen an increase in growth yet. The biggest thing that helped with growth for the channel was collaborations with other channels.
Sure.
Yeah, that was definitely, 'cause sharing audience, because like a lot of people, like they don't recognize that there's other like middle to small channels out there that is really good content, because it's hard to find. YouTube's algorithm, they only promote certain channels. So I think they need to get better with that, like finding channels. Like honestly, like I don't watch porn anymore, and like but like when I remember, like porn's really good at searching, like their
Right.
searching mechanic. And like if like YouTube copied like porn searching mechanic, like there'd be so many small channels that could be found. Like in
Really?
terms of like, I think so, right? Like
Yeah, makes sense.
by category, like you can't really search by category too much. And YouTube is like gaming and sports and entertainment is like one category, I think. So it's like, I think if YouTube like broke down like categories, like here's the self-development channels you could bruise like through. And yeah, anyways, so
No, that's good.
yeah, man.
And talk about porn real quick, because I don't watch
Yes.
either. I think it's terrible for you.
Yeah, man, it's like a drug, dude. It goes along the same pathway in the brain as a drug in the dopamine system. So yeah.
What do you tell a client who maybe they're I don't want to say addicted, because addicted is a strong word, but they're consistently watching porn all the time. What would you recommend? That they just go cold turkey, or that they somehow weed themselves off, or what do they do?
If I like going with what science says, and like weaning yourself off is more, I think, effective. Because if you go cold turkey, you tend to have more of a relapse. I really train in the addiction model, obviously, and how that works with human behavioral change with my background. But what I help them do is like, I mean, there's some software that I promoted, and which is really good software. It's like an accountability screen thing, and like it blocks your websites, and you can't access it because you give someone else the password. And so honestly, that's like the best way, and it works on multiple accounts.
Interesting. So it's a
Yeah.
program you install on your computer that blocks it.
Yeah. And you give someone else the password, and they see if you try to go to a website and stuff. So it's like, yeah, it's that accountability piece, which I think is huge. And it's a really good software. It's called Covenant Eyes, if anyone wants to know listening. So other than that, I mean, just like looking at the deeper reasons why you watch porn. Because a lot of people say, oh, it's just to get off. It's like, no, like if you start to recognize, like, hey, when you want to watch porn, the times you want to watch it, it's usually when you're alone, right? And like you are craving something, you're craving kind of a release, maybe from stress, maybe you're just more, yeah, it's usually has to do with like stress. You're more kind of like, just want that release. Like, oh, I just want to like watch my porn and get that like high. You know what I mean? And so recognizing that's where it comes from. It comes from a place of like emotional, either like, does you want to feel something, right? And sitting with that, and recognizing it, maybe journaling or meditating or like just like recognizing the feeling and then disassociating yourself from it, which is why meditation is so important. You start to use that craving productively, and also finding a bigger reason why you don't want to watch it. Like what's the point? Like, because some people, it's like, oh, I don't want to like do NoFap because like I don't really see a confidence change with girls. Well, it's like, find a deeper reason why you want to stop watching porn. Then, like, how do you feel after you watch the porn? Do you feel shameful? Because like, if you feel shameful after watching the porn, or feel guilty or whatever it is, like that's the emotion that it's becoming more prevalent in your life. And when you consistently feel shameful or guilty, like that becomes your new norm of the emotion you feel, and you kind of portray that to everyone else. So it's like, that's why, like, people are like, why are cold showers matter? Why does meditation matter? It's like, dude, it's like if you're the kind of guy that takes cold showers every morning, you become that guy. You're becoming a new person. Like, that's why you do, because no one else freaking jumps in a freezing cold shower in the morning when they wake up.
Yeah.
Like, and so you get more self-esteem. Like, you're literally building your self-esteem by getting in a cold shower in the morning. It sounds so like out there, but it's true.
It's like meditating every morning or doing any sort of morning ritual that's not easy. Right, like the worst thing you can do, in my opinion, is wake up and check your phone, and
jump on your phone.
I mean,
which I did this morning with you because, like, obviously the podcast.
Well, 7 a.m. So I don't blame you.
I usually wake up at 6, but yeah.
But so you do cold showers most mornings?
I made it a deal with myself. I made a deal with myself that if you're going to be an entrepreneur, if you're not going to work a 9-to-5 job, you have to get in a cold shower every morning. That was a deal I made with myself. And so far, like, it's like, yeah, I told myself basically, if I don't do this, I'm not going to be able to be an entrepreneur, which I know is kind of like a logical fallacy, but still it's emotionally what I'm telling myself. Like, if I don't have the balls to get in a cold shower every morning, then I don't have the balls to be an entrepreneur, you know?
That's great. I like how you phrased it to yourself. It's like, if I can't do that, then, you know, what the fuck? So
everything's how we talk to ourselves, man. A lot of people don't recognize that internal story we're telling ourselves. So
I had to do the same thing with meditation, because it was like the one thing I knew I should have been doing for a long time, and I just, you know, couldn't sit down and actually do it. But eventually, I found the Headspace app, and that got me past that initial hurdle. And now, like, if I go a day without meditating, I start to feel like a loser. Like, wait, I thought you were this guy who could meditate, and now. Well, you just skip a day when you don't feel like it, you fucking pussy. Like,
right. Yeah, I mean, like, give yourself that tough love, man. Like, whatever you need to tell yourself, like that internal story you're telling yourself, like whatever gets you to do what you want to do, that's it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's so, like, I see so many people kind of moving in the entrepreneurial direction. I think that's just kind of the way that our society is moving towards. And there's so many more tools available to do that, like YouTube. And I don't know if you've read up on blockchain or Bitcoin a bunch, but there seems to be a lot of ways that could enhance it coming soon. But I try to tell everyone, like, you have no job security unless you're entrepreneurial in some way. And I don't know if you've seen that, because I'm over here in Ukraine for the last year, so I'm kind of disconnected. But have you seen that as a trend in San Diego at all? More people doing that? San Diego is kind of like a corporate place a bit.
You know, I think it's who you surround yourself with, right? And I go to all these networking events and stuff, and I'm seeing a lot more entrepreneurs. Cause I think that's who I surround myself with. So I kind of have a skewed perspective.
Yeah.
Cause there's definitely a lot of corporate stuff here, you know, Qualcomm, all the hospitals, everything like that. But I tend to surround myself around more entrepreneurs anyway, so I don't see it as much, the corporate side at least. Yeah.
Okay. Well, San Diego is also kind of the hub of internet marketing too.
Big time. Yeah. A lot of it. Yeah. A lot of social media marketers.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. Well, cool, man. Anything else that you wanted to leave our readers with, or not our readers, our listeners? And also any book recommendations? You mentioned a few so far, but anything that you've been reading recently that you love?
Book recommendations. So, I mean, in what domain? Because, like, spiritual, financial, like, relational, game. Like, I mean, it's I've read.
I don't know. Whatever is top of mind.
Yeah, man. I think so. I'll just name like a couple books that changed me the most in terms of like each area. So spiritually, A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle was the one that really impacted me. Alan Watt.
Did you read that before or after Power of Now?
I read A New Earth first, actually. Okay. I didn't like the Power of Now. to be honest.
I read The Power of Now first, and I didn't know what the fuck he was saying. So I basically just used it as a meditation almost because his voice was so hypnotic.
Sure.
After like a long night of partying or something, I would just like pop in my headphones and just listen to him blabber on. And I probably listened to it 6 times. I still don't really know what he said. But then when I when I read A New Earth, it made a lot more sense. So I'm a big fan of that too. Sorry to interrupt, but go on.
No, yeah. You're fine. Yeah, man. Like just the way he conceptualizes the ego is like really cool. Yeah, and then anything about Alan Watts, I think, to really he challenges like your worldview, like the Western philosophy. Like he unroots a lot of those like Western ideological beliefs about like what's right and what's how you see the world. Basically, like I'm addicted to like having my mind fucked and like seeing the world and be like holy shit, you know, like I didn't think of it that way, right? And so like Alan Watts has done that to me multiple times. So that's all spiritually. I think self-development wise, you know, a lot of stuff by, let me actually pull this real quick. I think right now what I'm reading is James Clear, Atomic Habits. And then, another big one, business wise, I think Brian Tracy's a big one too, but yeah, okay. I mean, I think delving into it and like going for what yourself, cause I think there's like these, universal tenets about life, you know, in reality and about like business success, whatever you name it. And it doesn't matter where you find it, because different authors talk about it in their own way, and you'll find them eventually, no matter what. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the ones you mentioned, I've been either read them or been around them. So it's cool. You kind of find your way back to the good stuff. The cream rises to the top, I think.
Exactly. Yeah, these concepts about like the ego, what value is, self-esteem, you know, all these different concepts. So
yeah.
I'm so fascinated. Like, what made you move to Ukraine?
Originally I came here. I was doing this Euro tour boot camp with my guys in my continuity program. I'd been coming to Europe kind of every summer since like 2012. And every time I came, I went further and further east because I noticed the girls were just much better looking and, and like prices were cheaper. Everything was better the further east I went. So I went to Budapest, I went to Belgrade, and everyone's like, you got to go to Ukraine. It's like another world. So in 2015, I took 4 clients on like a 2-week boot camp to Ukraine, and it was fucking great, like everything everyone said about it. But most people are too scared to go, especially then because there was like a war going on. And when I went, I met a few different people and came back the next summer. And reconnected with those people. And one of the guys was this dude who was running trips, basically like Playboy calendar castings for Eastern European Playboy. So he invited me to his birthday party in 2017. And I was like blown away by this party, just the ratio and the craziness that went on. And then I kind of partnered up with him to bring clients to these sort of events. And then last year, I was coming here so often just for that. I was like, fuck it, I think I'll just move to Kiev because it's the food's unbelievable, the women are great, the prices can't be beat, and I work from wherever I have Wi-Fi, so why not? And I've been been here for like almost a year and a half. So
How's the English over there that a lot of people not speak it or –
Yeah, and most people don't. I'm learning Russian very slowly. Most of the young people speak it. It's not that big of a deal. Not too super hard to get by.
That's really cool, man. Yeah, I really want to visit Eastern Europe. I've been to Western, but I definitely want to check out Eastern Europe.
Yeah, it's totally different. That's the best part here is you can live the same sort of lifestyle for like a third of the cost. And I love San Diego, and I miss a lot of my friends down there. Because I went to UCSD and played on the golf team there and kind of like lived in back and forth between San Diego, LA, and New York for a long time. But I just love the lifestyle in San Diego. So I do miss it.
Nice. Well, and so you're just doing this podcast and coaching? Is that like your whole your thing right now?
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing this business since 2009. So, you know, it's been like 10 years, a little more. Basically, I took almost all of last year off and just partied. And I got really burned out on the business prior to that because I'd been doing it for so long. It was cool because I really, you know, I really enjoy coaching, and being away from it for a while lit the fire under my ass to get back on it and try to really grow the business to a new level. because you know it was a successful business, but I'd never grown it past like low six figures. So now I've been just studying like tons of marketing stuff, and there's a need for I think guys doing like what we're doing and preaching the stuff we're talking about that mm-hmm, could have a much mm-hmm. bigger voice. So
that's awesome, man. So a lot of your marketing is through like the podcast, or do you have like other streams too?
It's mostly through the podcast. I've been getting around like 5,000 to 10,000 downloads per episode. So I don't know where all these people come to find the podcast. Like, I don't.
Well, there's not. When I was searching like dating podcasts, like when I found yours, like there's only like a handful of consistent like dating podcasts. So like,
well, AJ, you know what I mean? And Jordan from The Art of Charm are like my good buddies from back in the day. And when they started, mm-hmm. you know, The Art of Charm podcast years ago, like I would joke around with them, like, you guys are fucking wasting your time with this dumb podcast. Now they're the biggest. I was wrong about that one. Like, my marketing stuff has always been – that's always what I focus the least on. I've always focused on being a better coach and, you know, becoming – just improving my own sort of stuff, you know? And now I'm really focusing more on the marketing stuff. But, yeah, for whatever reason, maybe the iTunes algorithm, like, people really come and download podcasts. So it's been effective for me, but mostly I think from the standpoint of – I've just been kind of consistent with it for a few years. Last year, not so much. And I noticed a big drop off in business from that. I think, you know, whatever you choose, like I think YouTube's probably better. I'm pretty good friends with James Marshall from Natural Lifestyles and Brian Bajan from Fearless Man. And they both have a YouTube following like 60 to 80,000. I don't know. My theory on it is like just pick something that you like to do and just keep doing that consistently. And I think I think that will be your best bet. But I've been looking at doing more like paid ads. And also I noticed you've got an Ever webinar running, right?
Yeah. So I just basically finished up my digital course. And so I'm trying to figure out like the best way to kind of like, so I have the marketing funnel I kind of set up for it. And, but I'm still kind of testing it with conversion rates and stuff. I'm not really sure what works the best. Right now I'm trying the webinar system, but I don't know, man. Like, I think building up a sales page might be more effective than just having it go straight to the sales page. I'm not sure.
I've been testing it. I have another product that I did an Ever webinar on for building a side hustle on Airbnb. That's something I've, you know, been doing personally since like 2013. And so I built an Ever webinar for that and a, you know, opt-in page and built the whole thing on ClickFunnels, but it didn't convert with paid traffic just because there's so much other stuff out there that like...
Really?
Yeah. That's the difficulty I found, is using paid traffic to promote dating stuff can be tough, especially on Facebook.
Yeah, because they need like a... You need kind of a warm market, right? Like unless it's like on point with your copy, like really on point, like touching their pain points and understanding them, like... I feel like that's why RSD is so good at it, like sales, is because they don't really have to do a webinar because everyone knows RSD, right? They have the credibility.
Right.
Right. So it's like, here's the product. It's like, all right, I'm going to buy it because I know the coach, I know the person, I know RSD. But for someone like who's less known, we get like 90% of the people coming to your website are like people that don't really know you. It's like you have to be really on point with like understanding them and creating that credibility. And
totally.
It's a fun game to play, right?
It is. It really is. Yeah, that's what makes it cool. I remind myself that too. You're just playing a game. It's a fun game.
Life's a fucking game, man. That's what Alan Watts like says. It's like, this is all a game. Like at the end of the day, nothing's going to fucking matter, right? All the women we had, all the money we made, like it's all going to fade away. So
for sure. I should edit this part, put it back in the podcast. Good stuff.
I know, dude. It's like, it's fun. It's how it always happens, man. Like I'll interview someone and like the fucking, the best parts come like before or after the actual interview.
Yeah.
It's like,
no, I'll throw it in there. It'll be good. No problem.
Okay. Yeah.
If you want me to, but
go for it, man. I still gotta get used to being like 100% transparent, because like with working like the job for so long, I had to like have this air of professionality, almost like professionalism, because of being a licensed therapist, which I still am. And so it's like I have to like be kind of like, it's like when I go to do infield, for example, with like a girl, it's like I'm still kind of like, fuck, like should a licensed therapist be approaching girls and recording it, like, you know, like. I don't know. It's like it's hard. So there, it is kind of a vice to also have the psychology background too, because of my license. So
that's interesting. I never thought about it from that angle. But
yeah. The ethics, man. So the professionalism, and it's like it's new territory for them too. Because I'll ask like the association questions about like marketing and stuff, and they're like, "We don't really know." Like,
oh, because you have to stay within their like bylaws or guidelines or something.
I did the therapy advice thing, free dating advice yesterday, and on camera, I told every person, I was like, "Hey, I want to let you know I'm a therapist, but this isn't therapy. Do you agree to that?" Like, just covering my ass, you know what I mean? So,
Well, dude, it's been awesome having you. How do
yeah, it's
guys
great.
find out more about you, and where can they check out your stuff?
Yeah, man. So if someone's interested, they can check out my YouTube channel, Pinnacle of Man. Yeah, Pinnacle of Man. And then if they want to check out my Instagram, it's a lot more personal there, like my day-to-day life and stuff, and they can DM me directly. They can type Josh Hudson, LMFT should come up, or J Huddy 89. It's like JHUDDY 89. So yeah, man, they can reach out to me and I can start a chat with you, see, help you out, see what's going on, say what's up.
I'll post a link under
The show
the
notes.
show notes too.
Cool.
So awesome, man. Thanks so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom.
Yeah, man, it was a great conversation. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.